An action plan which was approved in 2005 and will now be evaluated in February 2008 in a ministerial conference in El Salvador, and the idea is to approve a new action plan adjusting the priorities of the existing goals. 20% until now in the new draft of the new action plan, 20% pretty much stay the same. 60% of the goals have been modified, so they have been adjusted to a changing information society, and 20% of the goals in this ELAC agenda are completely new. That also shows us that it's very adequate every 2 or 3 years to revise the policy agenda, and governments are right now, this afternoon we have a meeting to talk about this new agenda, having evaluated the old action plan, and to go the next step. Countries talk about 2010 or 2011 to approve a new action plan. There is a regional architecture to carry out this plan with a steering committee of 4 countries. And basically to look into the plan in the ELAC 2007 of the 30 goals, of the 27 goals we have monitored, there have been 15 goals that have advanced very much, where the region has shown significant advancement, and 12 areas where there is a standstill. You see, this is in Spanish, I'm sorry. You see a lot of different areas. The most advancement have been made in access and in capacity building. The least advancements have been made in content and in public policies. We can look into that, for example, in access, the advancement that have been made, among others, refer, for example, to public internet access models. Here you can see in 2005, the countries agreed that during the next 3 years, they would like to have one public access center per every 20,000 inhabitants. That was the goal that was set in 2005 when we started to make an estimation of how many public access centers there was. We found out that there already exists one public access center per 2,500 inhabitants. So this goal has by far be passed. This is a massive phenomenon in Latin America. If you walk out here, you will see, if you walk around Rio de Janeiro, you will see these cybercafés in every corner. So a lot of advancement has been made in this regard. Also with connectivity of some institutions, for example, here you see the connectivity of municipalities. A goal of ELAC 2007 has been that until 2007, 50% of the municipalities should be connected to the internet. Here you can see that between 2004 and 2007, the email penetration, especially in countries like El Salvador and Guatemala, which are some of the less developed countries in our region, have made significant advancement. They passed this threshold of 50% connectivity of municipalities. However, these advancements in access contrast very much with a standstill in most of the content development. What you see here, what we did here, is we measured the content of the health ministry web portals. First of all, it's striking that one third of Latin American health ministries does not have a web portal. Of the two thirds that have a web portal, the content is mainly based on ministerial information, so there are pictures of the ministers and campaign information. However, if you look into more substantive health information, you know in the Millennium Development Goals, there are three illnesses, sicknesses, diseases named specifically. One is AIDS, the other one is tuberculosis, and the other one is paludismo. And you can see that one third of the health ministries do not even provide basic information about AIDS, about HIV. Two thirds of them do not provide any information about tuberculosis. There's another Millennium Development Goal, the goal number 5, which is set on the most important challenge of health development of humankind in this decade, and that is the maternal and child health. And as you can see, two thirds of the health ministry portals in Latin America do not even mention this topic. So, of course, we are hoping that health ministries are working on these issues, but at least what is sure is that they did not get to the information society yet. They do not use the digital tools to work on health issues. So this standstill in application contrasts very much with advancement in access. And this gives, of course, as you can see here, Some already have a lot of information and others do not have. And that's, of course, in our region, it's a big heterogeneity among countries. Some countries are very advanced and others not. You can see here a graph about intergovernment interoperability. You see a group of countries, for example, which is very advanced, one of the most advanced countries in the world. That's Chile, Mexico, and Brazil, which advanced very much on providing public service transactions. In other countries, a bulk of countries, which is still far behind in providing transactionally government services. And this is now one of the conclusions and why we use this regional action plan is basically to transfer experiences and to make use of this heterogeneity, to make use of the fact that some countries are already very advanced in order to exchange best practices from these advanced countries with countries that are lagging behind. So basically, summing up on most of the work we are doing, there have been significant advancements, especially in access. There's a big challenge still in terms of infrastructure, and we and the region perceives the regional heterogeneity, the fact that some countries are much more advanced than others, perceives it as an opportunity to strengthen regional cooperation and exchange of experiences, and to keep on working on the regional agenda. As I have mentioned, right now countries are discussing this new action plan for 2010 or 2011 with very concrete goals and a lot of concrete activities. Countries are really using this platform. Maybe Rogerio can also say some things about what Brazil is doing, for example, in e-government projects under this, or in cooperation with this umbrella. And I think so. I try to stay short, and of course I'm open to any questions or comments afterwards. Thank you.
Obrigado, Martin. A seguir nós teremos o senhor Mansour Farah. Please, if you.
Good morning. What I would like to tell you in the next few minutes is how the information society is progressing in Western Asia, of course with some focus on internet governance. Western Asia actually is the smallest of the regions. It has only 13 countries. They are all Arabic-speaking on the Eastern Mediterranean, extending from Egypt to the Gulf states. What I'm going to present here is based essentially on a publication, a sort of periodic or recurrent publication by ESQUA called The Regional Profile of the Information Society in Western Asia, which comes out every 2 years, and it will be published in December of this year. It depicts the status of the information societies in the ESQUA member countries because they are really growing separately and in a different way at different pace, and also in the region as a whole, and provides a tool for policy and decision makers to develop their ICT policies and strategies, and it measures also the progress made in building the information societies. The data that I will present is also based on a survey that was recently carried out with the ESQUA member countries regarding internet governance. The general, let's say, action lines as defined by the WSIS process are as follows. The ICT policies and strategies, member countries are in different levels. They have been classified according to certain definitions of maturity levels. Those that are in level 4 are the best, and those that are in level 1 are really in a very limited, let's say, status. So we can see that Iraq, Palestine, and Yemen are really at the lowest level, and that's for obvious reasons. Yemen is the least developed country, the only least developed country in the region. Palestine and Iraq are in practically in a state of war. And then comes in level 2 other countries where they have started a strategy, an ICT strategy, but no implementation plans yet. In the level 3, we have a more advanced status where implementation plans are being carried out, but they are moderately effective. And in level 4, they have advanced national strategies and implementation plans. If we look at the infrastructure, again, we have these 4 levels, and the countries fare differently also, but we still have at the top almost practically the same countries with the density of telephony and mobile and internet users and let's say networks in general at a different levels. Here we have in a graphic form the how it shows how the infrastructure is developing over the past 5 or 6 years. And we can see that there is a divide between the Gulf countries that are in red and the other, or ESQA in general, let's say, that are in blue. There is a divide in all 4, let's say, indicators of the that have been defined by the MDGs. So, and compared to the world, practically we are always below the average, the world average. Enabling environment, nobody is really in level 4. We are all lacking something, and there is no really complete legal and regulatory framework to help the consumer and the industry. This is based on several, let's say, parameters, but one of them is piracy, and we can see that we are faring very, very badly with piracy. Lebanon at the top, Kuwait, Egypt, etc. And even as a region, compared to other regions, we are still in poor shape. And that's one of the reasons why enabling environment is not faring well, as well as investment in ICT. It's still very, very limited, somewhere between 1.5 and 1.4 and 8.4 in the best case, in the case of Jordan. Now, the issues related to internet governance. Actually, few countries, about 3 or 4, have been formally involved in the IGF process. Some of them are expressing intentions to formulate an IG policy, but none has done so far. And when asked about the ranking of the main issues dealt with internet governance, particularly in this second meeting, well, the ranking is access, number 1, security, number 2, diversity, 3, critical internet resources, 4, openness, 5. If we take them quickly one by one, we can see that access is in the ESQA region. Again, there are no countries in level 4, which is the best, which means that access is still not as it should be, and in general it is less than the world average. Here we can see the Digital Opportunity Index, for example, as one measure of access, and we can see that the Gulf states are faring much better. The first 5 states are Gulf states, and then you have Jordan, Oman, etc. Anyway, even the best one is still below, 0.6, knowing that digital, the best is one, of course. Out of the surveys, we were able also to have an idea of initiatives that have been launched in this area. There are a lot, but they have just started or will start soon, between the Free Internet Initiative to reduction of sales taxes, to broadband services and infrastructure, and to improving the international bandwidth. But many challenges are really stopping these efforts. One of them, most important, is affordability of services and of infrastructure. The problem of broadband penetration, which is very, very limited, mainly because of cost. International internet connectivity is still limited. The language barrier, because most people don't speak other than Arabic, and still the Arabic content is very limited, and increasing internet bandwidth is still a problem. They expect from the IGF meeting, the second meeting, to deploy some models and initiatives that will help them to improve their status and define necessary steps to leverage the use of ICT at national levels. As far as security and trust is concerned, yes, again, here it's much worse than the one before, which is access. In security, we are still in the very, very beginning, and nobody seems to care very much about security aspects. Most of the countries have been classified in level 1 or 2, while 3 and 4 are completely empty. We can see that in the Information Security Index that has been published by Brown University, and we can see that out of 100, many of ESQUA member countries have zeros, and others are between 5 and 13. Some initiatives have started on e-signature law, personal information confidentiality policy, mainly in Jordan, combating spam, implementing pilot PKI systems, but they are really just starting. And many challenges, of course, in critical internet infrastructure protection, fighting cybercrime, countering spam, the frequency interference, etc. And they expect from the IGF to have some ways to fight spam and to propose specific security solutions. Now, as far as diversity and multilingualism are concerned, again, here the local content has improved, but is still not at the level that is needed, and most countries don't make any efforts in that respect. We can see here that Arabic has only 2.9% of the content of the world, while the Arabic-speaking population is above 5%. Initiatives have been launched in that aspect, with the e-content initiative, the Arab Heritage Initiative, Arabic domain names, pilot projects, and knowledge stations project. But again, challenges in the limited Arabic content, lack of internet applications, localized, which means in Arabic, and lack of useful content in Arabic. IGF is expected to encourage initiatives to develop localized applications and introduce IDN at the level of the root servers, as well as support the Arabic domain name system that has been proposed. For critical internet resources, there is very little that has been done, but some initiatives started in Egypt as far as IP version 6 with the task force, but none of the countries has adopted it yet. Afrinic Mirror Center, that's also, it affects the North African countries. Set up of regional root servers, one laptop per citizen, one laptop, one child program, an Arab entity for CCTLDs, which is planned, and lots of challenges on the problem of the IP version 4 exhaustion, the deployment of IP version 6, knowledge training costs of international connections, and lots of things are expected out of IGF regarding the distribution of critical internet resources and their positions against the position of certain countries regarding the right of access to these resources. Openness and freedom of expression, again, none of the countries, as far as member countries, is in the top level, and freedom of expression is in general very limited in ESCOM member countries, since the governments try to keep the media under control. And that's why not much initiatives, nor do they see any challenges, and they don't expect much from IGF in that respect. I just finished with a small table showing how the whole region fares regarding the various action lines of the information society. And we can see that the best country is the United Arab Emirates with 2.8 out of 4, Bahrain with 2.47, Jordan 2.33, Kuwait 2.47, etc. And we have Yemen at 1, and Iraq and Palestine not far away from this, 1 out of 4. As far as each action lines, we also have averages, but the best really is, I think, capacity building, somewhere capacity building 2.54. But again, it is not great. Thank you very much for listening.
Obrigado, Sr. Mansour. A seguir, nós teremos o Sr. Makhtar Tsek, vai falar sobre as perspectivas da governança da internet na África.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to present some issues for African perspective on internet governance. We have 5 points. For the beginning of the process, internet governance in Africa, the WISIS process, and the African Regional Consultation on IGF last month in Kigali, the commitment for the Connect Africa Summit, and the toward for IGF Rio. First, beginning internet governance in Africa, to present only some aspect about the meeting in Cotonou to put in place an African Regional Internet Registry. We have some registries in Africa, RIP-NCC, APNIC, and ARIN. The first proposal to implement internet governance in Africa is the creation of African Regional Internet Registry, submitted to ICANN in 1997 by the African Group Network Operator. Last proposal sent to ICANN in 2004. African Registry approved on the 8th April 2005 during visits process. Other information, the creation of AFRINIC process was supported by UNECA. But it is related to establishment of NOC, was created in 2000. The more important aspect is the goal is for the coordination and cooperation among network service providers to ensure the stability of the service to end user. AFDOC also supported the establishment of AFRINIC. Other important issue for the African governance in Africa is the recommendation of the African Regional Property Conference for the WISIS in Accra, 2-4 February 2004 in Accra, Ghana. The several key for the recommendation is internet governance aspect should be mainstream in the establishment of the national and regional strategy. Many countries in Africa have now established e-strategy. Now 46 countries have a national strategy for the ICT. Second is an appropriate participant management on the internet should include all stakeholders. Is a multi-partnership with the government, private sector, civil society, and intergovernmental organization. Other recommendation for Accra is appropriate regulation from which should be established to deal with public policy issues related to the internet infrastructure and application, e-commerce, spam, cyber criminality, privacy. We have now in several sub-regions in Africa. Now we harmonize the ICT policy. But ECOWAS is fine now. We have four COMESA and we have a project to harmonize in all the sub-regions in Africa. The recommendation about the participation, Africa should participate actively in international organizations with internet governance. I think it's very important to the African decision maker participate to several organizations concerning internet governance. But the multilingual is very important. And the last manifestation about internet governance is the African Regional Consultation for you organized by ECA and with the cooperation with Rwanda government, African Union, ICANN and ISOC in Kigali last month, 28 October. This consultation was focused on access, internet critical resource, security, diversity. We have some focus in this IGF now, access, internet critical resource, security, and diversity. The recommendation of Kigali workshop are democratize public access to ICT, by initiating the develop program, the infrastructure, develop infrastructure, and access for the creation community access center. Other recommendation is to establish sub-regional and regional backbone and access to service universal. development of academia and industry, private sector for the training program is a developed content also to support to the program on promotion African language is a recommendation concerning the diversity language. And the Africa Summit organized by ITU, ECA, GUIDE, Government Rwanda is a summit for the aid of state, 29-30 October in Kigali. Is it summit to the commitment? We have 5 commitment for Africa about to connect Africa in the information society. One is mobilize the human, financial, and technical resources required to bridge major gaps in ICT infrastructure with the aim of supporting affordable connectivity and application and service to stimulate economic growth is a recommendation for the infrastructure. Second also is for the infrastructure to the broadband ICT network, rural connectivity, capacity building, application and service. Now we have infrastructure recommendation and capacity building. For the several goals, goal one, interconnect all African capital and major city by 2012. Second goal is connect African village to broadband ICT service by 2015 and implement and village phone. Goal three is a regulatory measure to that promote affordable to the correct environment. And goal four, support to the development of a critical mass of ICT is a content, is a capacity building. Goal five is to adopt a national strategy including cybersecurity framework, e-government service, e-commerce, e-health, and for in each country in Africa, the deadline is 2012. Okay, is a several recommendations about to implement IG in Africa. Thank you.
Okay. Agora teremos o senhor Hans Hansel da ECEA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to give you an assessment of the situation in Central and Eastern Europe, and in particular, we'll talk about the transition countries and some of the transition problems that these countries have encountered going from a planned to a market economy. But first, maybe you're not aware of that the European region also include Canada and United States, as we are comprising 56 member countries, and we cover from Vancouver to Vladivostok a vast region. In this region, we have some of the most advanced countries in the world and some of the most less advanced countries in the world. And as you can see from this one, it shows internet usage in the region. And from the left, you have, for example, Albania with less than 10%. And you have other countries like Iceland, Nordic countries, between 80% and 90%. And as you can understand, it's not easy to develop a homogeneous policy for development in such a heterogeneous region. This graph shows the digital opportunity index, this is compiled by ITU and the UN. And it's from 2000, the difference between 2001 and 2005. And as you can see, all countries have moved forward and it's positive. And in some instances, also the gap has closed between the richer and the poorer countries. However, the gap still exists. It's just on a higher level. So unfortunately, we have not closed the gap. If you look at sub-region, the Commonwealth of Independent State, we can see that Russia has the same gap now as before with Tajikistan, the top performer and the lower performer. However, again, all countries have moved forward, but there is still a gap between the top performers and the lower performers. And we find the same pattern again in Central and Eastern Europe, where Slovenia, Estonia keep the gap towards vis-a-vis Albania, that's the lower performer. And again, all countries have moved forward, but there's still a gap between those top performers and the other ones. So we have, as we know, a digital divide between countries, but we also have a digital divide in between regions, within countries, and we have a digital divide between income levels with regard to age and education and gender. And what is more interesting is that something that we are looking into in all countries, but these facts are much more predominant in Central and Eastern Europe and in Central Asia. And it becomes quite apparent if you look at some of the material I have here. It's not easy to get the facts from all these countries, and I'm using Russia because we have had it is easier to get access for on information from Russia. For example, with the regional distribution of access to internet, it's only 17% of the population east of Ural that have access to internet, and that's the same amount of people lives in Moscow, and also more or less all internet access in Russia is in the European part. Now Russia is doing a great many efforts to remedy that, and they are putting in a lot of ICT infrastructure along the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and they're trying to remedy the situation, but it's still far from being clear. With regard to income capita, we can also see the first row that those with high income, the blue line, they have 85% of the internet users, and those with low income, they have hardly any users at all. Same problem with age. The young, 18 to 24, they have the majority of the users, and those that are 55 years and old, the white fields to the right, they have hardly any access to internet at all. And this is very typical for Central Eastern Europe, and this is quite different from some of the Western countries. Studies, for example, show that in Iceland or in Nordic countries and some of the Western developed countries, there is only 1 or 2% differences between the age groups. And thus, this is something very specific for Central and Eastern Europe. Similarly, education group, those with higher education, they have also large access to internet, and those without any education, very little. Another factor here that I think it's extremely important to point out that in many of these countries, the cost for hardware and the cost for connection is sometimes prohibitive. In Moscow, in 2005, the cost for a computer was 17 of a monthly salary. In Ukraine, 2005, and a PC cost 2 times a monthly salary. And in Armenia, just the access to internet cost more than the monthly salary of a public servant. More than the monthly salary of a public servant. Thus, in those countries, in many of these countries, access to internet is a luxury that you can't afford. And what you do is, obviously, you use your workplace in order to do this. Here I summarize some of this this discussion. You can see this is a total number of internet users in Ukraine, Russia, Belarus. You have a fair number of total internet users, but in the other CIS countries is a very small number. So what are the constraints? Clearly, in order to pick up on internet users, is availability of the infrastructure. The per capita is not only the per capita income, but it's unequal distribution within the population. The high cost of ICT equipment we talked about, also lack of awareness of benefits. A lack of trust in the security. If you buy something online, can you secure, are you sure that it will work? And also a reluctance of business to take up new type of business models and a low level of e-literacy. So this is on the demand side, and on the supply side, there's been a monopolization of the ICT sector. And we have a underdeveloped institutional regime, that's clear, and lack of access to financial resources in order to invest in infrastructure, and thus we have insufficient infrastructure. And also slow decision implementation making process, and it's a high level of ICT market entry cost. These are typical problems for introducing internet ICT in a country, but in addition for a specific problem for countries in Central Eastern Europe is the transition problem. As you know, they go from a centrally to a pliant economy, and that leaves a legacy over the central planned economies, over the knowledge production and dissemination, and also of the ICT infrastructure. To, in plain words, many of these countries, they do not have several service providers. They have a monopoly, that you only have one service provider that keeps prices up, and the service is low, and that is something that is a problem. In summary, the different levels where these countries come from, they also determine what type of strategies these countries can develop in order to move forward. And we have looked into four country groups, and the advanced countries like Western Europe, they have the accelerator use of ICT to deepen the internet penetration and to gain competitiveness for their products and also to increase the quality of their lives. A second group of countries, upper medium ICT level, and these are some Baltic countries, Central and Southern European countries, and their main focus is internet outreach, and this is done by e-governance, e-education, and e-inclusion programs. Countries with lower medium ICT level, and to those could be Central Eastern European countries, Southern European countries, Balkan countries, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Belarus, and Russian Federation. And they look at the actual physical extension of ICT infrastructure. They also need to improve their institutional regime and to automate the digitalize the public sector, and they need to look at the education and research. And the countries with low level of ICT uptake, Central Asian countries, and South Caucasus and East. Okay, that was too much. With low level ICT uptake, they need to look at raising awareness and also create an enabling environment and to widening access, and this can be done through the public internet access points. So, Mr. Chairman, that's a short rundown of the situation in the European region. And I have with me a summary of this publication that's forthcoming in a couple of weeks. It's on the table here, and you feel free to take a copy with you when you leave. Thank you very much.
Quero agradecer, então, todas as exposições. Quero fazer pequenos comentários sobre a situação brasileira em particular, considerando que o tema é de grande relevância para o Brasil e nós temos, ao longo desses últimos anos, trabalhado fortemente para que esta questão da governança da internet ganhe dimensões maiores do que ela tem tido até hoje. Mas apenas para dividir com os meus colegas os dados brasileiros e os esforços do Brasil nesta área. O governo brasileiro estabeleceu um comitê gestor da internet, né, quem é responsável por todas as regras e o desenvolvimento da internet no Brasil, em que toda a representação, que é a maioria neste comitê da sociedade civil, das empresas especializadas, dos segmentos especializados, da academia, tem a sua representação eleita. Inclusive, houve uma recente eleição, com renovação, inclusive, no âmbito do comitê gestor. Então, aqui, a participação do comitê eleitor é feita e é escolhida a partir das entidades organizativas que se candidatam a opinar sobre o assunto e que formam colégio eleitoral que escolhe os seus representantes que têm maioria. O governo coordena, eu tenho a honra de representar neste comitê o Ministério do Planejamento, mas a maioria dos representantes são advindos de segmentos, sejam da sociedade civil organizada, sejam dos institutos de pesquisa, ou sejam da comunidade empresarial, por diferentes segmentos, que elege seus representantes. Dito isso, para dizer que a internet para o governo brasileiro é de grande importância. Nós consideramos as estratégias de implementação de governo eletrônico como uma estratégia fundamental nos próximos anos para a simplificação dos custos microeconômicos do Brasil, para uma redução desses custos, para uma democratização do acesso à informação, da transparência do Estado, do controle do Estado por parte da sociedade, né, para aumentar a fiscalização da sociedade sobre o Estado e aumentar a transparência, portanto, do Estado brasileiro. E esse procedimento no Brasil hoje depara com uma dificuldade que certamente, pelas exposições que eu vi na mesa, são também dificuldades de boa parte das regiões que estão aqui representadas, que é a penetração ainda insuficiente da internet. Os números brasileiros são próximos dos que foram mostrados, aproximadamente 16% têm acesso à internet no Brasil, o que faz um número mais ou menos de 34 milhões de pessoas. Eu estou falando de internet em casa. Acesso à internet são 28% das pessoas que têm acesso e possuem computador em casa, com acesso à internet, 16% das pessoas, o que dá um número ainda muito reduzido perto da abrangência, e, sobretudo, porque a concentração do acesso à internet no Brasil está restrito, especialmente às classes A e B, e só recentemente as classes C, D e E, isto é, as classes de mais baixa renda no Brasil, estão começando a ter acesso a computadores e à internet. O governo brasileiro fez um programa de incentivo à compra de computadores, retirando todos os impostos dos computadores do âmbito do governo federal, e fez com que o Brasil hoje seja o terceiro maior mercado de microcomputadores do mundo. Esse ano nós devemos estar comercializando 12 milhões de unidades de computadores no Brasil, com esse incentivo que o governo federal deu para a compra de computadores pelas classes menos remuneradas. São computadores até R$ 2.500, que têm a total isenção de impostos. Isso fez com que baixasse o custo dos computadores, aumentasse muito a fabricação, inclusive no Brasil, e esse procedimento tem tido um resultado muito interessante com o crescimento do número de pessoas que acessam a internet no país. Afora isso, uma das metas do Programa Brasileiro de Governo Eletrônico é levar a internet a todos os pontos de serviço público do país. Isto implica em levar a todas as escolas, a todos os postos de saúde, todos os hospitais, todas as delegacias, todos os pontos, prefeituras, todos os pontos públicos do governo brasileiro. E nós veremos nos próximos 3 anos, muito provavelmente, um esforço muito grande do Brasil para que, utilizando a sua infraestrutura de fibras óticas, o governo brasileiro dispõe de uma grande malha de fibras óticas no seu sistema de distribuição de energia elétrica, deve utilizar isso para fazer um grande backbone nacional que possa cobrir todas as regiões. E também ele tem investido muito nesta questão de geração e distribuição de energia. Nós devemos, nos próximos 5 anos, ter mais 5 mil quilômetros de fibras óticas cobrindo todos os estados da Federação do Brasil. E, certamente, nós, nos próximos 3 anos, atingiremos mais de 90% da população brasileira com cobertura de internet, com disponibilidade de serviço, e veremos, provavelmente, uma grande competição no segmento de acesso na extensão e no esforço do governo brasileiro de promover o acesso à internet nas regiões mais distantes, mais pobres, nas periferias das grandes cidades, para que nós possamos ter um serviço de governo eletrônico ubíquo, um serviço onipresente que possa estar em todas as regiões do país. Então, e para isso, há um programa também feito pelo que o governo brasileiro tem uma participação muito forte, que se chama Um Computador por Aluno, que é um projeto feito em conjunto com o MIT, como alguns outros países também estão participando dessa iniciativa. Nós devemos estar contratando ainda este mês o primeiro lote piloto de 150 mil laptops por alunos, onde vamos testar em 300 escolas para, então, avançar no programa e atingir mais de 1 milhão de máquinas para que possam cobrir todos os alunos brasileiros. Isso implica em ter uma infraestrutura de internet capaz de assegurar a conexão em todas essas escolas. E a meta do governo brasileiro é ligar em 2008 todas as escolas de nível médio à internet. Nós hoje temos apenas 7% de todas as escolas brasileiras ligadas à internet. São 142 mil escolas, apenas 7 mil estão conectadas, com banda ainda não suficientemente larga. O governo brasileiro espera oferecer 1 megabit determinístico, isto é, realmente 1 megabit, não numa proporção de 1 para 10 ou 1 para 20, como normalmente os acessos comerciais, portanto, uma largura de banda suficientemente boa para que tenhamos em cada ponto de governo um acesso à internet de qualidade. E, então, nesse sentido, algumas questões se colocam como estratégica, considerando que o país entende esta questão do comércio eletrônico e da internet como central, e neste fórum nós estamos estimulando que o debate da sociedade civil mundial e que o debate também dos países possa se situar sobre as regras de governança da internet, considerando que a internet é hoje um processo que não há nenhum acordo internacional que regule a sua distribuição. Então, nós queremos a existência de um acordo igualitário que não deixe apenas sobre um país com controle sobre o processo, mas que nós possamos democratizar isso e fazer uma discussão internacional de forma que a gente tenha um controle mais democrático, uma eleição mais transparente nos processos de regulação da internet, que são centrais para as nossas economias nos próximos anos e que nós temos aí muitas questões a serem resolvidas, sobretudo com a proliferação. À medida que a sociedade brasileira se transforma numa sociedade eletrônica, nós passamos a ter mais crimes na internet, os crimes começam a ser internacionais. Nós temos também casos de crimes do tipo de pedofilia, por exemplo, que tem tido aqui no Brasil vários enfrentamentos, inclusive com companhias internacionais, para acesso aos dados. Então é preciso ter regras internacionais que permitam uma solução mais rápida dos problemas do que os mecanismos tradicionais, porque em muitos desses casos a prova do crime desaparece na lentidão da burocracia de obter as informações necessárias. Então daí a posição do comitê gestor, a posição do governo brasileiro, de que essas questões venham a ser discutidas de uma forma mais ampla, que tenham uma grande participação da sociedade civil internacional a respeito disso. Nós queremos um ambiente de liberdade, um ambiente
ambiente de participação muito forte da sociedade civil. Não queremos que uma internet estatal, nem qualquer coisa do gênero, mas nós imaginamos que ela pode ser muito mais democrática, pode ser muito mais transparente, pode ser muito mais discutida, inclusive com os diversos segmentos e setores interessados, de forma que tenhamos uma regra mais adequada às questões que se colocam daqui para diante, e cada dia nós vamos ter questões mais cruciais, né? Como recursos críticos, que já foram mencionados aqui pelos debatedores, onde nós precisamos discutir a sua distribuição, as regras da sua distribuição, já que a economia mundial tende a que cada equipamento que nós vamos ter aí na nossa casa vai ter um número IP, vai estar ligado em alguma coisa da internet, e, portanto, a distribuição desses recursos, ela é uma discussão central. Então, eu queria, com esse pequeno comentário, abrir para o plenário, para as pessoas que têm alguma observação a fazer, algum comentário, alguma pergunta aos painelistas, para que a gente possa, então, já caminhar para o encerramento do debate.
Mr. Chairman, if I allow me, I was very interested to hear what your comment here, and I think the actions taken by the Brazilian government is commendable. It sounds really interesting. As I tried to explain, in the European Central Asian region, some countries are very advanced, and they try to do similar things as what you're doing, and with small resources. However, some other countries, they are moving very slowly, and they are not really taking any initiatives. And my question to you is, I understand that in the Latin American region, there has been a cooperation, the kind of a more Latin American action plan. How has that influenced your decision making? Has it influenced your decision making? And do you think this is something that you could recommend also for other regions?
Muito boa sua pergunta. Isso preenche uma lacuna na minha exposição. Nós viemos trabalhando, eu particularmente, há pelo menos 5 anos, para que a América Latina trabalhe na criação de um padrão de interoperabilidade de governo eletrônico. E, sobretudo, que se engaje nas metas que o Martin mostrou aqui do ELAC, para que nós possamos avançar em termos de penetração da internet. Sobretudo, para que tenhamos uma América Latina e o Caribe integrado, é necessário que os sistemas de informação estejam integrados. Então, é preciso ter regras que garantam essa integração. Eu acho que a Europa é um grande exemplo disso. Nós temos acompanhado muito o esforço europeu de integração, e nós sabemos que um elemento fundamental para essa integração é ter padrões de interoperabilidade comuns que permitam que o fluxo de mercadoria, o fluxo de pessoas, o fluxo de informações entre os países consiga fluir entre os seus sistemas de informação. O governo brasileiro acredita nisso, fez um apelo à CEPAL recentemente para que essa questão esteja na pauta da CEPAL. Nós estamos fazendo hoje um primeiro projeto piloto junto com a Colômbia para que a parte de governo eletrônico, a parte de aduanas, se integre utilizando um padrão de interoperabilidade comum. O Panamá e o México manifestaram interesse em se integrar a este processo. Então, nós provavelmente veremos nos próximos anos um esforço grande de integração, começando pelas aduanas. O Brasil faz fronteira com quase todos os países latino-americanos e, portanto, tem um grande papel. E a economia crescendo e um grande comprador, portanto, um grande interesse que as economias do entorno se relacionem economicamente com o país. E nós acreditamos que essa seja, talvez, o primeiro começo aí de uma série de avanços que teremos também no trânsito de pessoas, na informações sobre saúde, sobre educação, enfim, e uma série de redes estão sendo construídas na América Latina. Mas é necessário que a gente estabeleça padrões de interoperabilidade, mas, infelizmente, essa discussão não tem o mesmo grau de maturidade na América Latina. Como o próprio Martin mostrou, alguns países ainda estão em estágios mais iniciais, e essa é uma discussão para aqueles mais iniciados, aqueles que já atuaram algum tempo no assunto e já têm uma infraestrutura de sistemas de informação em que essa questão esteja colocada, o que não é a realidade de todos, mas estamos trabalhando nessa direção. Eu espero ter podido responder a sua pergunta. Pois não?
está funcionando.
Hi, my name is Andrea Molinari. I'm working in Argentina, Universidad de San Andrés, and my question goes mainly, well, for the Latin American experts more than maybe, but maybe if you, anybody else wants to answer. I guess Latin America seems to be the most developed region from what I heard. I'm quite frustrated when I see the Argentinian government, which is we don't come from a very, very underdeveloped world. I mean, we are quite a developed country within the developing world, and we don't seem to have a strategy at all for ICT in the government. So my question was, do you think that it's possible to override this lack of planning from the government? Because Brazil seems to have a completely different strategy, a completely different vision from what they really want to do in the medium and long term with ICTs in general than Argentina does. I mean, we have some advances. Mainly, whatever is happening mainly because there are leaders who are, you know, who care about the country and who care about these issues, and they start trying to drive these things forward, but not because you see an action plan from the country. So, well, this is avoidable, or this is really has to be generated from the government, or it could be, I don't know, generated somehow else with other kind of leaders or other kind of strategies. Thank you.
De fato, o grau de envolvimento de cada país com um plano mais organizado é diferente na América Latina, e a gente percebe isso claramente nos debates que ocorrem na região. Isso também tem sido um dificultador da possibilidade de que a gente possa ter um plano mais organizado para a área, que possa se implantar, de fato. Essa questão que tu observas a respeito do governo argentino, mas eu avalio que isso seja um processo, porque no Brasil nós já tivemos numa fase parecida com essa, onde o governo tem algumas ilhas de excelência, mas não tem coisas muito bem feitas em algum lugar, mas tem outros lugares que não fez nada, não tem, muitas vezes pode não ter uma visão global. Eu não conheço exatamente a questão da Argentina, mas enfim, eu considero que uma fase como essa, ela é uma fase de transição, muito provavelmente. A gente tem percebido nos fóruns internacionais que, mais recentemente, o governo argentino tem organizado mais a sua posição relativamente a isso. Mas esse é um processo interno que os argentinos têm que passar por esse caminho. Não são nós, brasileiros, que vamos resolver esta questão. Nós podemos ajudar, estamos abertos para qualquer cooperação, né? Mas é um processo da sociedade argentina que, naturalmente, tem que ser amadurecendo à medida que essa questão vai perpassando o debate da sociedade argentina. Então, recentemente, os senhores tiveram eleição, então certamente vão ter mais um mandato presidencial, uma presidente alinhada com o atual, em que essa questão possa ser aprofundada.
Yes, maybe Edson, I was looking about, we did an interesting graph about that to see the relation about national policies and advancement on the information society. If you use, for example, these e-readiness indicators, well, we use 12 of them, you know, there are a lot, the ITU, the UNCTAD, everybody has one, so we use 12 of them, we mix them together. You put this on one axis, and you put on the other axis the existence or non-existence of a national strategy, and on the other hand, the existence or non-existence of many projects. You see that the most influencing part is the existence or non-existence of projects, independently if they are coordinated on a national agenda or not. So I would say even in the Brazilian case, Brazil is working very hard on coordination issues, but compared with national agendas like they have in Chile, for example, This is very difficult to have them, in, especially in federal states, as I can see. I think Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina are in a similar situation. They are federal states, very big countries. And of course, to have a coherent agenda, it's much easier in a centralized national country like the other ones, like Chile, or small countries like Trinidad and Tobago. So first of all, having said that, also first of all, we see a lot of advancements if there are a lot of activity and projects on the ground, as you can see, for example, in Brazil, and also, as you can see, in Argentina and in Mexico, there are a lot of projects. However, inside the ones that have projects, if there is also a coordination of these projects in a sense of a national strategy, as you say, then you can even see a larger impact. This is secondary, but it is also, it does make a difference. You can see that countries who have a coordinated strategy is also advances a lot faster as well. Of course, you really do not know the causality of this relation. It can be that they have a national agenda because they have a lot of internet, or they have a lot of internet because they have a national, well, you never know the causality of that. But I would like to point this out. So first of all, it's important to have initiatives. I think also the large countries, Argentina, Mexico, Brazil, have a lot of initiatives. And then, of course, we also have seen that the coordination of this initiative can give you an extra credit. However, it's not as decisive. Now, if you see also of the national strategies, if you look around in Latin America, and we have worked a lot on that, on these national strategies, some countries have these national agendas, so they have big action plans, they have summed them up, they have all this, they have beautiful features, they published it in colors and everything. However, I think if we really want to get a grip of a national ICT strategy after a lot of work in that, what I came to understand that the only thing that really impacts and that makes an impact on this national strategy is the coordination of resources. Now, in all Latin America, there's only one country that integrates ICT expenditure into the public budget, and that is Chile. So in the public budget, they really have an own budget line for ICT expenditure. In most other national budgets, public budget, ICT expenditure is under services together with house cleaning and other things. So you do not really know, nobody knows how much is spent on ICT. So if you do not know that, there's not really a big starting point to make a national strategy and to coordinate resources. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis on the fact that if there is a nice paper published in colors that says we want to be equal and rich and progress or through the information society, I would rather focus on this other thing and to see if the country has an inventory of knowing who's doing what, how much is spending which ministry on ICT. That's a lot more important, and that has a lot more impact. So having said that, maybe summing up this national strategy issue, first of all, it's important if there's a lot of projects, that has much more impact than the coordination and a policy document. And the second of all, you can get something out of the coordination of this project if you have a national strategy and coordination. And this coordination, for me, the A and the Z, the alpha and omega of this national coordination, is to know who has which kind of national budget to spend on ICT. And unfortunately, we do not know that. Nobody really knows that in most of the countries of our region.
Is that working? Thank you. I'm Nandi Ndaitwa from Namibia. My first question is, I'm addressing it to the Economic Commission for Europe. When you understand the situation, especially when you talk about the countries on transition and all the challenges that you have to address, when you were making your presentation, I missed the point as to what strategy then the Commission is having in trying to bring up the countries which are at a very lower level. So it was really not clear whether there is a concerted effort at the part of the Commission in terms of mobilizing resources to bring about some sort of a balance between those at the lower level and those at the high level. Then another issue, when you listed the different challenges, countries, regions, income of level, you also talked about gender. But maybe because of the time, when you went to elaborate, you did not really bring in the challenge of gender. What does it mean that you have that challenge when it comes to gender? And then the other one is on the Commission for Western Asia. What is that the Commission has to bring in Egypt as part of the countries that you are taking care of, when it's very clear that Egypt is a member of the African Union, and geographically it's really in Africa? And because at the African level, there is really a question as to why there is an attempt to divide the Africa into those, maybe the economics are powerful, and you are finding a way of leading them to other regions. What is that in terms of the ICT, that the Egypt is part of the Western Asia? Then on the African Commission, the presentation started in 1996. And one appreciate that currently there are 46 countries that have national strategies. But if you have to calculate from 1996 to now, is 10 years, maybe plus. One wants to find out as to how far has Africa has done in terms of access, if there is really any information that can tell us where are we from 1996, that's based on your presentation, and to Kigali 2007. Are we making progress, or we are still at the level of making policy declarations as the ones which came from Kigali, or we are now also at the same time as we are fine-tuning those policy declaration, some work, actual work is going on that's telling us as to how far are we in having access to the internet and to the use of ICT in general. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I can start. I think these were extremely good questions. Thank you very much. First, I think I start with this question on gender. I talked about gender, and it's clear that the gender, the use of the gender balance is deteriorating as we go further east. In the Western developed countries, there is almost equal balance. It's slightly in favor of the men, but it's around 45-55. If you go to Russia, it's also around 45% of the females using internet. But if you go to other countries like Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, the gender balance goes down dramatically. It's around 10-15%, and that's the situation as it is. What do we do? We have had a number of workshops that includes gender and ICT, and entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, and how they can use ICT in their business. But this is also something that should be taken up in national plans in the respective countries. And in that respect, what we are working, how we are working with these countries is that we have seminars. We are working together with ESCAP in the special program on Central Asia. It's called SPECA, where we have special workshops on ICT policy, where we bring this up and we discuss this type of issues. This is one way of doing it. Another way that we are working in EC is that we are a very substantive program in EC, We have environment, we are setting standards, we are doing a lot of energy, and all these different sub-programs, we include ICT, and implementing these sub-programs, we are promoting ICT. One major problem we do have, and I admit freely, is that we do not have a major budget to go out and raise these issues on a general level. And that is why I asked our chairman, the minister here, to ask for advice how they are doing so well in Latin America. Personally, this is myself speaking, I would like to see a copy of your plan, what you have in Latin America, that we can do, introduce in the European region, taking into account exactly what you asked, how do we influence national administration with regard to gender, with regard to cost, with regard to the practicalities, but it's also boils down to resources, and of course we have contacts with the World Bank and other funding institutions, but for the time being we don't have this type of regional plan, and when I go home, that's one of the objectives I would like to raise with the constituency and see if we can develop that. But I think you are right on target on these type of questions. Thank you.
Mr. Mac.
Okay, I would like to speak French because it's very clear for me. Someone translation, huh?
No, we don't have translation, but
okay. Il y a quelqu'un qui va traduire parce que il faut que ça soit clair. OK. Tu peux. Hein? OK.
I don't know if she understands French.
She don't understand French.
No, she translates. OK. Dix ans après le lancement de l'initiative africaine de la société de l'information,
10 years after the African Initiative on the Information Society has been launched,
nous avons enregistré des progrès au niveau de l'accès en matière d'ICT sur l'ensemble du continent.
We have noticed progress in the field of access in the African continent.
Nous n'avons pas eu le temps de présenter tous les résultats concernant la densité, le taux d'investissement en matière d'infrastructure ICT.
We didn't have enough time to evaluate the investment in terms of density and what?
Densité, le taux d'investissement en matière d'infrastructure.
Investment rate in the field of of infrastructure.
La connectivité en Afrique.
Connectivity in Africa.
Tout ce qui concerne le câble, l'accès.
Everything concerning cables and access.
Large bande. On n'a pas eu le temps de présenter ça ici parce que c'était pas l'objectif de la présentation.
Broadband. That wasn't the aim of the presentation today, so it wasn't presented.
Quand on vous dit qu'il y a 46 pays qui ont leur plan national de politique ICT.
When I say that there is 46 countries with a national ICT plan.
Ça veut dire que les 46 pays sur les 53 ont déjà leur plan fini et qui est en cours d'être mis en œuvre.
That means you have 46 countries among the 53 countries that have the national ICT plan finished and it's being implemented.
Et il y a même certains pays qui sont dans la deuxième phase de leur plan national.
And among those, some of them are in the second phase of the implementation of the national plan.
On a pu montrer à travers les efforts au niveau de ICT.
We have been able to demonstrate about the efforts in the field of ICTs.
Que ces technologies ont contribué à réduire la pauvreté.
That the technologies have contributed to reduce poverty.
Parce qu'on a le niveau d'éducation qui a augmenté et l'accès à l'enseignement dans certains pays grâce au ICT.
Because the educational level has increased thanks to the ICT.
l'accès aux soins de santé.
Access to healthcare.
L'autre problème que nous sommes en train de faire, surtout dans la région des Grands Lacs, c'est comment les ICT peuvent contribuer à pacifier la région Afrique.
What we're trying to see now, mainly in the region of Grand Lac.
Les Grands Lacs, oui, les Great Lakes.
Great Lakes. Great Lakes. Is to see how ICTs can contribute to making peace in the region.
Oui. Par la bonne gouvernance.
Through good governance.
Le contrôle des frontières.
Frontiers control, the borders control.
Et le problème des transhumains sur les réfugiés.
And the refugees problems. Transhumains.
Mais tout cela n'est pas suffisant pour que l'Afrique puisse atteindre les objectifs du millénaire pour le développement.
But all this is not enough for Africa to reach the MDGs.
C'est une des raisons pour laquelle il y a eu la conférence de Kigali.
And that's one of the reasons why we held the Kigali conference.
Pour dire que on a assez parlé des ICT, on a fait des conférences, des résolutions.
To say that we've talked too much about the ICTs, we've done workshops and seminars.
Des recommandations, on a fait des résolutions.
And we made recommendations and resolutions.
Il nous faut maintenant des engagements au niveau des décideurs politiques, de la société civile, du secteur privé.
Now we need firm commitments from governments, private sector, and civil society.
Et en analysant la situation de l'Afrique depuis 10 ans, on a des insuffisances dans le domaine des infrastructures.
And by analyzing the African situation 10 years ago, in the past 10 years, yeah, we know that we have weaknesses in the field of infrastructure.
Infrastructure, développement de contenu.
Content development.
Parce que l'Afrique doit être présente au niveau de la société de l'information en matière de contenu.
Yeah, because Africa has to be present in the information society in terms of content.
Il nous faut aussi un renforcement de nos capacités.
We need capacity building too.
Et avoir la possibilité de voir de faire avoir la possibilité de choisir les technologies stratégiques.
And we have to be able to choose strategic technological tools.
Parce que la technologie qu'on choisit en Europe, ça doit pas être la même chose pour un pays africain. Ça dépend des objectifs et des besoins du pays.
Yeah, because the tools that are being, the technological tools that are being used in Europe may not be the ones we need in Africa.
Et tout ça ont été concoctés sous forme d'engagement.
And all these are.
C'est pas des recommandations, c'est des engagements.
Has been presented as commitments, not recommendations, but commitments.
Et ces engagements sont traduits en termes de plans d'action.
And those commitments have been translated in terms of action plans.
Et il y aura une réunion entre l'ITU, la CIA et la Banque mondiale pour voir quelles sont les actions que chaque institution doit mener.
And there will be a meeting between ITU, UN and the World Bank.
And all the partners.
And all the partners to see how to go forward with these action plans.
Donc, ce qui fait qu'on a des perspectives et puis on pense que d'ici 2012, les engagements que nous avions pris, on pourra les respecter.
So we have plans and we think that before 2012, we'll be able to meet the commitments we made.
On a beaucoup d'engouement dans le pays, dans le continent. Par exemple, rien que l'acquis qui a été la création du Fonds de solidarité numérique.
We are very committed within the region. For example, the Digital Solidarity Fund.
La CIA a reçu déjà beaucoup de projets.
UNECA has already received a lot of projects.
Et ces projets vont contribuer à réduire le fossé numérique.
And those projects will contribute in.
Et nous sommes en train de travailler sur la mise en œuvre de ces projets.
And they are actually working on implementing those projects.
Nous avons aussi ce qu'on appelle le ARAPK, le plan de l'économie du savoir de l'Afrique que nous faisons avec l'Union africaine.
We also have what we call the ARAPK, that's the African Regional Action Plan, knowledge economy.
Yes. Avec l'Union africaine, l'Afrique africaine.
Africa Union.
Donc des projets ont été identifiés.
So projects have been identified.
Ces projets seront mis en œuvre rapidement.
And they will be implemented very rapidly.
Au niveau des infrastructures aussi, on travaille avec les commissions économiques sous-régionales.
In terms of infrastructure, we're working with sub-regional economic commissions.
Oui, pour mettre en place des infrastructures sous-régionales, les backbones sous-régionales, la fibre optique, tout ça, on est en train de travailler là-dessus.
To set up sub-regional infrastructure, I think.
Et le premier satellite africain va être lancé l'année prochaine, en 2008, le RASCOM.
And the first African satellite will be launched
donc,
next year.
Donc, les problèmes de communication vont être réglés rapidement sur le continent africain avec le lancement de ce satellite, sur les communications internes.
So problems will be very rapidly solved.
OK. Donc, après, on pourra continuer les discussions. Merci.
OK, we can continue discussions after. Thank you.
Okay, concerning the question regarding Egypt and its membership in ESQUA, it's not working. Regarding Egypt's membership in ESQUA, actually it's up to the country to decide its primary membership in any regional commission. Egypt has chosen to have its primary membership in Western Asia because it has interest in this region, but it is also a member of ECA, so it has two membership. Same thing, for example, the United States and Canada have their primary membership with Europe, with the ECE. However, they have also they are member of ECLAC, I believe. Secondary membership of ECLAC. France is also primary membership with ECE and secondary membership with Africa and probably ESCAP even. So as long as they pay memberships and they are active, there's no problem in being member of several regional commissions.
Bom, eu quero agradecer, já passamos do horário previsto para o encerramento, mas eu quero agradecer então a todos os palestrantes, todos os presentes com as suas perguntas que puderam enriquecer esse debate. Evidentemente que é um debate que não termina, mas ele é um debate que está começando e o objetivo desse painel é de fato levantar essas questões para que elas continuem sendo discutidas e que nós possamos fazer algumas mudanças importantes nas regras de implementação da internet e, sobretudo, que possamos compartilhar conhecimentos nos diferentes continentes para que a questão da universalização do acesso, a questão da participação da sociedade, que todos esses elementos são perpassam as diferentes culturas e as diferentes implementações e que também a internet possa contemplar as diferentes idiomas, as diferentes questões regionais, né? Como esta questão da adaptação para as diferentes línguas e faladas na humanidade, é importante que esse debate continue e que nós possamos ter uma governança mais democrática, mais transparente, que leve em consideração essas questões, porque nós entendemos, e eu creio que este painel deixou isso claro, de que este talvez seja o principal, sem dúvida, talvez a obra colaborativa de maior impacto na sociedade nos últimos anos, no final deste século, início deste século. É um exemplo de cooperação que a humanidade pode fazer para avançar muito o seu desenvolvimento científico, tecnológico e social, e nós acreditamos que são necessários, neste momento, algumas regras importantes para que possamos ter acordos internacionais mais seguros, mais sustentáveis e que, de fato, façam com que aqueles países que ainda não se inseriram tenham a chance de acelerar essa inserção, que deve melhorar as questões sociais no mundo todo e o comércio também internacional pode avançar nessa área. Eu queria agradecer a todos os palestrantes pelas suas brilhantes exposições e pelo debate de todos vocês que ficaram até agora ouvindo esta apresentação e esse debate e que eu espero que possam reproduzir nas suas organizações, nos seus lugares, o que está se debatendo aqui no Rio de Janeiro, particularmente neste seminário, neste painel. Muito obrigado e bom seminário a todos, bom IGF.
I would
I would also like to take the opportunity to thank Rogério very much. Rogério is, of course, not only with us today because we are here in Brazil, but he's also with us, and he's really one of the champions for international work on the Information Society. Of course, also, he's a strongman for these issues in Brazil. So if you have any question, Rogério is the man to talk to. And I also would like to thank him personally because also of what you're seeing here, the IGF and the work Brazil is doing, I think, is very, very important for the entire world and the entire developing world of bringing these information society issues to the South, to be able to discuss it in the South. And we are all of us are very glad and very thankful that we have a strong partner on that in Brazil, and especially on one of his leaders, Rogério. So I thank him very, and we thank him very much that he was with us today. Thank you.
Obrigado, obrigado, Márcio.